Johnny Van Zandt is one half of the brother team at Van Zandt. Thanks so much for joining The Antidote.
Hey, thank you for having me, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
So you got to tell me, how long have you known your bandmate?
How long have I known my bandmate? Oh, for a few days. You know, actually, man, we are neighbors. I sold Donnie some land, Dave, years ago, and him and his wife built a nice home next to me. So they're great neighbors. And one of the ways we came up with this album is that I have a little studio in the back, and we were back there just, God was giving us songs, and it came very natural and a lot of fun to us, you know, being able to write a gospel album. It's something that's been on our bucket list for many, many years, and we finally got to do it. So there you go.
You got to be honest with me. Who of you wants to be in charge? Is it you or Donnie?
You know what? We're good at that. Honestly, both of us are very open-minded, and you know, we kind of bounce stuff off. Like we wrote with one of the Skinner guitar players, Martin Matega. Mm-hmm. We call it Sparky in the band. So we'd throw stuff at Sparky and then bounce back. You know, a lot of this particular album was written during the pandemic. So we were all at home for 15 months, you know, pretty much no work. And so we had a lot of time on our hands, and we used it very creatively, you know, and had a great, great time doing it.
Well, the Van Zandt project has really been on again and off again, you know, kind of things for decades. Because yeah. You guys were being kept busy with 38 Special and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sure.
So what's special about making music with Van Zandt?
Well, of course, we're brothers. Not only brothers, but we're great friends, too. You know, we lost our older brother. Yesterday was, what, 40-something years, October the 20th. And, you know, we really connected back then, and because we realized just how quick life can come and go. And it's something that I guess, you know what, it's a blessing. It's very much a blessing because, like you said, he's been busy with Skynyrd, and he's been busy over the years with 38. And our last record, I think, was in 2006, something like that, or
oh,
7.
Man, that's a long time.
Yeah, together. And Donnie had some problems with his hearing, so he retired from 38 and kind of just said, you know, I'm not going to do nothing but write and everything. And I was real busy during this time period with Skynyrd and traveling all over the world and playing that great Skynyrd music. And after our last record, country record, and it's called My Kind of Country, and we were really just burnt out because doing two projects at one time, full force, was a lot on us, just mentally, physically, and being away from home. You know, I mean, some nights, mornings, days, we'd pull up next to the Skynyrd bus. I'd get off and get on the Van Zandt bus and go play, you know, Van Zandt gigs. And so it was just crazy time, you know. And you know, we enjoyed doing it, don't get me wrong, and we're thankful that we were able to do it. But at the end of that record, My Kind of Country, we were kind of like, okay, we just need a little break, you know. And thank God we did it, because now we're able to do a gospel album, you know. So it's a great, great thing, you know.
Well, that's the thing, because as you've said, like, in the past, you've done rock and country, but doing a Christian album, what gave you the push to get into doing that?
You know, we wanted to. We've always said we'd love to do that. And again, we started writing this stuff, and I actually, my pastor was here yesterday with me, because I think I was telling you my daughter's been sick. Mm-hmm. And he was here at the house just talking with us. And I actually turned him on to the music after we started writing something and had a few of them recorded. I took it to my preacher and said, hey, you know, Pastor Mike, do you think, you know, Christians would like this? And we, you know, let my church actually be the judge of us, and it gave us the inspiration to keep going, you know. And what better way to, you know, what God gave us voice, God gave us music, and what better way to celebrate him, you know, through a song, you know, and that's exactly what we did. And we've been sitting on this music, well, since COVID, you know, since 2021, and just really didn't find a place for it. And we looked at some of the other gospel record labels, and things just didn't work out for us, didn't feel right. And believe it or not, an Italian company called Frontier, we talked to them, and I talked to Tom Lipsky, who I've known for many, many years, who works for them. And I went, you know, if Tom's involved, I want to do it with them. And luckily it all came about.
You really lay out the faith aspect on Jesus Christ, the lead single from Always Look Up.
Sure.
It speaks about the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Now, I know I shouldn't ask this, but for you personally, is that the most important song of the album?
You know, it's hard to say, but of course that's very, very important. I mean, that's why we brought it out first. And we were a little scared because we were like, well, in the Christian world, you know what I mean? Yes, there's groups like Stryper and different bands that are a little heavier, but, you know, we didn't want to come off too heavy on, you know, because the album's very versatile. You know, there's a lot of different styles on this album. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of concerned about coming out with something heavy, you know, because the music's pretty heavy on this for a Christian song. And actually the singing, I mean, but the girls do such a great job on it. And all the background vocals are just amazing. And I give it a shot at the lead vocal. But you know, of course, that's a very important song. I mean, that's what it's all about. He gave his life so we could have eternity, you know. But it's been well received, which is great, because, like I said, we were kind of, okay, I wonder what Christians are going to think about a little heavier song. But hey, it's talking about the crucifixion, and what better words to put out there.
Amen. So maybe the Christians have been accepting, but what about the followers of Van Zandt? Because this is going to be a big change.
Oh, they love it. They love it. They love it. Again, I said we did some country records. Well, our first one that we did was called Get Right With The Man. So we were leaning that way anyway. And we had like a huge hit called Help Somebody off that record. It was pretty funny back then. We were nominated for Duo of the Year, but Brooks and Dunn was still around very heavy. So I kept telling my brother, I said, well, it's great that they nominate us, but we're not going to win. And we didn't. But you know what? It was great to be in the ball game and not on the bench. But we were leaning that way back then. And actually, there's a song called I Can't Help Myself on that album. And Help Somebody are very religious songs. So we were leaning that way. So our fans, most of them are religious people who believe. I think our fans are hardworking, God-fearing people. They're good people. They really are. And I'm on the internet, you know, I'll look at stuff and just read the words. And it's pretty amazing, you know, that me and Donnie had a theory. We said, well, if we can touch one person and bring them to Christ, boy, our job was definitely completed. And I think we touched a lot of people with this stuff. You know, on YouTube, Jesus Christ is approaching 700,000 views.
Man.
You know, which is pretty amazing. That's just one outlet, you know. So I know it's been watched on many others. And hopefully, you know, two old sinners, I always say we sin every day. There's only one perfect person that walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. But from two old sinners, I think, we're true believers of Jesus Christ and our good Lord above.
Well, you can be thankful because I'm not going to ask your age.
Oh, that's okay. I'll tell you, I'm proud of it. I'm approaching that 65, so pretty funny. I'm at the age where now I'm starting to get like, you know, hey, Medicare reaching out.
And you're just waiting for that senior's discount at the store.
I know. Well, hey, I've been doing that since I was 55. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm a senior. Okay. I'm proud to be a senior. You know, there was one time in my life that I didn't think I'd make it to be this good age that I'm at right now. And because believe me, I danced with the D-Man, you know, way back when. And, you know, got hit home would be many, many years ago. And our dad, Lacey, used to preach to us kids all the time. And so we knew the Bible and we knew God, but we just didn't live it, you know. And I think a lot of younger people do that. And it may take something, you know, tragic. And I think that's been one of the reasons why I've leaned on the cross. I'm going through it right now, you know,
sure.
with my daughter. She has a mass on her brain. It's very serious, and it's called a cavernoma. And, you know, so it's she's 22 years old and got her whole life ahead of her, you know. So I'm leaning on that cross and praying to God and you know, going, hey, Lord, please help her be healed, you know, in your mighty name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so as life goes on, you know what I mean? I think when you're young, you're thinking, okay, what can I get? What can I make? What can I do? You know, what makes me happy? You know, and it's very selfish time in your life. I think a lot of people are, and when they're younger, I'm not saying everybody, but I know I was. And I was looking to get a nice truck or whatever, you know, but you can gain the world, lose your soul. What do you have? You know, so I danced with the D-Man, and luckily I came back around and just learned my lesson. And I get more joy out of this music than I think I ever have any other music that I've made. You know, I know for a fact that if we can sing for Jesus and touch people's hearts through lyric and song, that's a great accomplishment in our life. If I don't do one more thing music-wise, I feel really accomplished here.
Well, talking about the music, let me bring in the second single. There You Are has lyrics that say, I didn't know where I fit in or where I belonged. All I know is I can't make it in this world all alone. But that strikes me as a little bit funny, Johnny, because you come across as being so confident. How did you feel that you weren't fitting in?
Yeah, no, you know what? I was out in Oklahoma, and, you know, everybody sings in the shower. And so I'm getting ready for a show with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden, God touched me with that. And I think it was one of those down days where I was like, wow, you know, I'm grateful that I'm out here on the road, but I sure am missing home. And, you know, sometimes it gets lonely as an artist on the road. No matter how many people you're in front of or whatever, you find yourself back in a hotel room all alone. And I think it just hit me, and I started writing the beginning of that. And I actually got out of the shower, got dressed, and called my brother Donnie. I said, man, I think I got something here, but I don't know where to go at on a course. And so I texted him the lyrics and sang him the melody of voice memo on my phone. I went and did my show. I came back, and he had left me a message. Call me, you know. So I did, and the first thing he said was, there you are. And I went, wow. You know, so that's how that song came about. And, of course, we got together with Mark Matega on it and musically. And Mark's been a blessing to us, too, and a great, phenomenal guitar player. Me and Donnie are campfire guitar players. You know, we know some chords. but to bring in a great guitarist that God has really given a great, great talent to just makes it so much easier when you're looking for those right chords, you know? So, but no, it's a wonderful song. And I think we all feel that way sometimes, you know? I mean, I personally can go to a gig and be around a bunch of people, but if it's a social event, I kind of get a little bit of, oh, wow, am I fitting in? Am I here? You know, that's why my church means so much to me. I can be the guy that just as the guy, you know, I'm not Johnny Van Zandt, somebody that makes music or anything, you know, so that's a comforting feeling for me.
Oh yeah, perfect. Here's something I need to know. Is this going to be the first and last time for Van Zandt to make Christian music? Or do you think there's is a future?
I can tell you what, I think there's a future because I have a list on my wall of 17 more songs that we have not recorded that we feel very strongly. We probably got another 40, but these are the 17 top ones that we really love and care about. We're writing every day. You know, we write every day, and the good Lord has blessed us with the Christian music has come through our gospel, whichever one you want to call it. We call it our Jesus music. Mm-hmm. it's been very easy for us, and that means that God is touching us. Because I have people all the time go, how do you write a song? I said, well, there's a verse, there's a chorus, first of all, there's an intro, a verse, a chorus, maybe a turnaround, another verse, blah, blah, blah. And then if you like a bridge, you can put a bridge in it. And, you know, but I can't tell you how it happens. You know, the only thing I can say is that it's God's gift. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are really good at doing electronics, computer, math, you know, literature, all that good stuff. God blesses them with that. So we each have our own talent, and this is a God-given thing. You know, I think all music really is.
That's wonderful. Well, the Van Zandt album, Always Looks Up, releases November 22nd, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of the songs, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for coming for this talk. I appreciate you taking the time for the antidote.
All right. Thank you very much, and have a blessed week and day and month and year.